There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
We cannot and will not encourage people to bring their children or other children to the country unlawfully by giving them immunity in the process. Why wouldn't you bring children with you if you know you would be released and not prosecuted? We do not want to separate children from their parents. We do not want adults to bring children into this country unlawfully either, placing those children at risk.
All right, a little bit of what Attorney General Jeff Sessions had to say earlier today about the reaction here to enforcement on the border and the separating families story that has so many people talking. Reaction as well from President Trump. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Also, Kirstjen Nielsen, head of DHS, reacting to it as well. And we'll play some cuts here. Also, Brendan Kirby joining us this hour. We'll talk about this debate and try to boil down the facts here. What's really happening? I will say this. You heard just a side. By the way, hey, hi, Sean Sullivan, Midday Mobile. It's us for the next couple hours. I want to hear from you. 343-0106. That's the phone number. Website, fmtalk1065.com, facebook.com/fmtalk1065. All right. Noah, looking at the two stories that seemingly don't have anything to do with each other. World Health Organization has now classified compulsive video game playing as a disease, I guess, which means what? The people can get like disability and stuff for the fact that they play video games. And then you had Sanjay Gupta there a second ago with his clip talking about the compulsive video game playing. And then the story that we are giving children on the border video games to play. Are we, the people of the United States, infecting the children coming across the border with the disease of compulsive video game playing? So they're two separate stories, but I see them joined somehow. We'll talk about that. But Brendan joins us here in just a few. Get some reaction from President Trump earlier today on the criticism of this policy.
Obstructionist, and they are obstructing. The United States will not be a migrant camp, and it will not be a refugee holding facility. Won't be. You look at what's happening in Europe, you look at what's happening in other places, we can't allow that to happen to the United States, not on my watch. For the rest of the world, you look at everything that's taking place, pick up your newspapers this morning, and you see. We want safety and we want security for our country. If the Democrats would sit down instead of obstructing, we could have something done very quickly. Good for the children, good for the country, good for the world. It could take place quickly. We could have an immigration bill. We could have child separation. We're stuck with these horrible laws. They're horrible laws. What's happening is so sad. It's so sad. And it can be taken care of quickly, beautifully, and we'll have safety. This could really be something very special. It could be something maybe even for the world to watch, just like they're watching our great economy, how it's soaring. They could watch this. We have the worst immigration laws in the entire world. Nobody has such sad, such bad, and actually in many cases such horrible and tough. You see about child separation. You see what's going on there. But just remember, a country without borders is not a country at all. We need borders. We need security. We need safety. We have to take care of our people. You take a look at the death and destruction that's been caused by people coming into this country without going through a process. We want a merit-based immigration system so that Boeing and Lockheed and all of the people, Grumman, all of the people that are here today, the heads of every company, so that you can hire people on a merit base. You know they're coming in. They're people that came on merit, not based on a lottery or not people that snuck across the border. And they could be murderers and thieves and so much else. So we want a safe country. And it starts with the borders. And that's the way it is. Now I'd like to thank you. Thank you. And again, we can do this very quickly if the Democrats come to the table. Everybody wants to do it. We want to do it more than they do.
All right. So there's a little bit of what the president said earlier, President Trump defending the policy on the border. But whose responsibility is it? Because over the weekend, I've heard everything from that it's executive action to it's the law of the land. Well, good for us. Brendan Kirby joins us in a little bit. We'll find out. And, you know, a lot of reaction. Listen, I said that this morning, and I'll double down on this. I believe that if you're a fair, decent person, you see the video, you know, the video of the children inside the chain link detention facility. Listen, it should pull at your heartstrings. Obviously, that is a normal reaction. That's being used politically, but it's a true thing. But you have 2,000 some odd children just in a little over a month's time being put in these facilities. So you can look, I think, on either side of this issue, you can look at it and say, that stinks. That's sad. But then you have to ask how we arrived at that point. What does the law say? Are these folks that are really seeking asylum? Are they playing a certain game here? Now, I would imagine that when you say something in totality is one way, you'll probably be wrong. There are probably people that absolutely are fitting the definition of the asylum. How do you quantify it? I mean, how do you quantify it back? If they're coming from some ravaged country, some place that they say that that they are the target of this oppression that they would need asylum from, are you going to go back and cross-check it against the government that supposedly is targeting them? It's a tough situation. So if people know that, they can come to the border, they come with families, and they may be seeking a better life, but so are a lot of people who are going through the legal process of immigration. So what do you do? Do you carve out, make special exceptions, or no exceptions? What do you do here? And that, I think, is part of the debate. And we'll get into this and kind of break down, what is the law? What has been the law? What is, has anything, are we doing something differently now than we were doing before President Trump took office? Is it the same? And if something's changed, what has changed? What can be done? People say, well, what is Congress doing? What can Congress do in short order? That's a question. I mean, obviously, the legislative branch, unless they want to spend our money, moves quite slowly. So what are they going to do? And are you wanting to change the laws? The laws need changed, and if they need changed, how? So we'll continue this discussion. We will bring Brendan in just a second and talk more about that. All right, you can also always drop us a text at 343-0106, 343-0106. And also, the Some Are Better Than Others prize giveaway is on now. Details on our Facebook page, website, Instagram, and Twitter. All right, coming right back, this discussion with Brendan Kirby right here on Midday Mobile. Glad you're here.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1218 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Comments earlier today from Attorney General Sessions.
They're not put in jail, of course. They're taken care of. They remain in the country, even though they don't have a lawful process to be here. That's an enormous cost that is being incurred by our government. We sent a message
a bad message to those crossing illegally to, if you bring children, you can avoid prosecution and deportation. This country is dedicated to caring for those children.
All right. What's the full story? Joined by Brendan Kirby from LifeSet.com, Yellowhammer News, author of Wicked Mobile, to talk more about that. Brendan, thanks for your time.
Hey, as always, Sean.
Hey, is this, by the way, just looking at this story, is this DACA on steroids, these children?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's, there's a fair amount of evidence that when Obama created the DACA program, it drew in more of these young illegal immigrants, children, young adults, because they thought that they would be able to qualify. They never actually did qualify for DACA, but they thought that maybe they would. So, and this is debated, and it's hard to prove, but the numbers, you know, have been going up pretty precipitously since 2014 when this surge started, and I think it's reasonable to think that that DACA helped spark the boom.
Okay. Let's go through. I've made a list of questions for my friend here, Brendan Kirby. First of all, what is changed here? Why is this now? You know, it's the lazy Susan of news stories has stopped here on this.
Well, and this is really quite simple. It gets obscured because the two sides usually talk past each other rather than to each other. But it changed because the Attorney General decided that they were going to start filing criminal charges against people who are coming across the border illegally, even if it's their first offense. And this is something that's not well understood, because a lot of people cast illegal immigration as just a civil violation. You go to immigration court, it's not criminal court. But there actually is a criminal statute on the books that makes it illegal to enter the country. Now, it's a minor offense, it's a misdemeanor, it's a maximum punishment of 6 months, and it almost never was used before, unless someone had previously been deported and then they're coming back and then they're charged with a felony, which is illegal reentry. But Sessions took a look at these numbers and said, we've got to send a message that you don't get a free pass coming here, and then people won't come. So they've started charging people with illegal entry. Okay, so that's number one. Now, what happens if they've got a child in tow with them? Well, just like anyone else in the United States who is arrested and charged with a crime, your kids don't go with you,
right.
Which, you know, seems rather common sense and would be a horrifying prospect, I think, if we were to put kids in jail for the crimes of their parents.
Well, it would be challenged too. I mean, the first thing you would do, you put them in there and say you're putting children in jail for no reason.
I mean,
innocent.
Just,
yes.
I don't think anyone in the country would think that was acceptable alternative. So
correct.
Now, you know, if an American gets arrested, like if you're pulled over for drunken driving, and you get arrested, you will go to jail for that, and that means that if you have kids, they will be separated. Now, in that situation, it's usually easy to find another parent, another relative, someone that can look after them. But in the case of an illegal immigrant with no connection to the United States, you know, you can't really do that. So when the parent goes to jail, the federal government has to assume responsibility of the minor. So that's what's going on. That's why they're being separated. They're being separated because they are committing crimes, and they're going to jail, and they're going to court, and they're being prosecuted. And that's what's horrifying. But, you know, if you make the decision you're going to – what these advocates are really saying is they don't think that – that there should be criminal charges filed. Because if you make the decision that you're going to enforce the law aggressively, there's no other way you can do it. You know, because, again, we don't put kids in jail.
I mean, okay, so once again, the law, if I get this right, so I understand the law giving the ability to charge somebody first time across with a crime, not a civil, but with a criminal statute, that is being enforced now, but it's been on the books for some period of time, or is it brand new?
It's been on the books forever. And now, okay, this is where Trump kind of misrepresents this when he says, well, we have no choice but to do this. This is the Democrats' fault. I mean, that's not actually true. What he means is we have no choice to do it if we're going to bring charges. Like, obviously, the U.S. Attorney's offices and the Justice Department retain the discretion to decide when they're going to pursue charges and when they're not.
Okay, so that's the crux. That's okay.
That's the crux. And that's, so Sessions could go back to the old Obama policy, which was just a release. And now, here's the other thing to consider as well. If a family comes illegally from Mexico, it's a pretty simple process. You just turn them right around and send them back to Mexico, and you don't have to file charges or have a drawn-out immigration proceedings or anything else. And the same with Canada. You know, those are the two bordering countries. But anywhere else in the world, it's a whole different, much more complicated, longer process. So if an adult comes across the border illegally alone, you can detain that person without filing a criminal charge, but detain them pending deportation proceedings. And that can take a period of time to complete if they're not from Mexico. You can't do that, though, with when there's kids involved, because there's this, and this is the quote-unquote law that Trump talks about, which actually isn't a law. It's a court settlement dating from 1997. The Clinton administration settled a lawsuit by saying, we're not going to detain immigrant children on a long-term basis. So they can keep them basically for 20 days. And then after that, they have to be released. Well, that's longer than it takes the deportation proceedings to carry them out. So we have this bizarre situation then. A Central American man who comes alone is treated differently than a Central American man who comes with a child. Because if you can't, if you're not willing to file criminal charges against them, and you don't, you can't detain them long enough to deport them, the only option at that point then is to release the entire family, which is, you know, typically what would happen. You come with a kid, it's your kid, oh, okay, we're going to release the child because we don't hold children longer than 20 days, and we're going to, we'll release the parent as well. And then we issue them a notice to appear for their immigration proceedings and hope they show up. And this is what Sessions is trying to do. So basically the difference you have here is Jeff Sessions and other like-minded people see illegal immigration as a problem in and of itself that they're trying to stop. And so many people on the other side don't see illegal immigration as a problem, you know, unless the illegal immigrant is a criminal or a terrorist or something like that. And that's what it comes down to. Because just imagine this scenario. What if a illegal immigrant's parent and a child came across the border, Border Patrol apprehends them, and then they run a background check and they find out that the adult father Ooh. Is wanted in Alabama for murder, say.
Yeah.
He was previously in Alabama, and there's a warrant for his arrest on murder charge. Well, I don't think that, you know, even the hardcore immigration left at that point would say we shouldn't arrest him and send him to Alabama to be tried for murder. But if we did that, obviously, by definition, that means separating him from his child. So what it comes down to is, it's not that the Democrats and liberals are saying here that it's wrong to ever separate parents from children. They just don't think that illegal border crossing is a sufficient reason to do it.
And I also thought about another wrinkle to that. If you're running a background check, you apprehend this family and you get something, whether it's through Interpol or, you know, some national or international, and you see that the parents or the dad or whatever is a bad dude, and you're going to put the child back and send them back across the border, gosh, that's got to be one that would challenge your conscience too, though, right? I mean, if you said, I now know this guy's a very bad guy or whatever, and I'm about to put their child back with them and send them back out. I mean,
right, which is actually grounds for separation as well. Basically, what they look is, it's grounds for separation if the parent is facing a criminal charge for the reasons we discussed. If it's determined that the adult traveling with the child is a danger to the child, which could mean, you know, a bad dude parent, or it could mean this is a person who's brought a child and they're not even related. That happens sometimes too. The other reason would be, if it was a fraud situation. It's kind of like we're talking about someone posing as a parent. Sometimes smugglers even try to get across by posing as parents of the child. So in a situation like that, you know, they would remove the child because it's not actually even his parents. I would think that even the most open borders Democrat would agree that in a situation like that, if a child is truly in danger, you wouldn't release them. I mean, I don't think they're advocating that. Or if the person is wanted, you say internationally or even on a domestic charge, if there's a serious criminal charge that this person
wants to face it, we do that. The argument is about everything else. So, you know, a lot of people are horrified about this, you know, think that arresting someone on a misdemeanor charge is just not a serious enough offense to warrant this. So then the question would be, well, what if they previously have been deported multiple times and kept coming back, and then they brought their kid? In that case, you know, they'd be facing a felony. Is that sufficient to separate them, or not even that? And we really need to figure out a better way to enforce the law if we want it to have any meaning. If you don't like the idea of parents being separated from their children, we need to find a more expeditious way to send the entire family back faster, or to change, you know, have Congress specifically pass a law abrogating that court settlement, saying you can hold children longer than 20 days not a jail, but, you know, that kind of immigration facility with the whole family while their deportation proceedings are pending. Because if you don't do that, then you say to everyone in Central America to come here, bring a kid, because that kid is a get out of jail free.
Yeah, and when we come back from the break, I want to talk about that, about the parameters for asylum. Also, what I see is, you know, is this just a pragmatic battle? I'll explain it. We'll get more from Brendan when we return right here on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. All right, just still watching. Good number of showers in the Southwest Gulf. Dr. Bill said that was what was left over from the unsettled weather down the Caribbean last week. A few of the old afternoon variety thunderstorms starting to fire up, but not a bunch of them. We'll keep our eyes on that and get an update from Dr. Bill shortly. Continue our conversation with Brendan Kirby from LifeSet.com, Yellowhammer News, also the author of Wicked Mobile. Looking for a good beach. Would you qualify that as a beach? I think it's a beach read.
Well, you know, I mean, it's sort of designed to be kind of a brief. It's not a very long book. It's sort of a breezy collection of stories. It's not meant to be heavy history class type history. So, yeah, I would say that would qualify.
I mean, if you could read a chapter and then, you know, go get in the water, go do some skim boarding or whatever, and come back and pick it up and be just fine.
Absolutely. And the best thing about it is you don't have to read it in order, because each chapter is sort of a self-contained story. It sort of runs chronologically, but it doesn't really connect one to the other in a way that a novel would.
All right. We'll talk more about how people can pick up a copy of that. We talked on the break here more about this story. And first of all, if people weren't with us the last segment, why is this issue now an issue? Why are we hearing about this now with the detention, and we weren't before? What has changed?
Yeah, and just to sum this up in one paragraph, the change is the Trump administration under AG Sessions has decided they're going to file criminal charges against people who cross the border illegally. And previously that had not been done unless the person was wanted for a serious crime or had entered previously. And by doing that, if they have a kid with them, you have to separate them just as you would anyone who gets charged with a crime is separated from his children.
And the optics of this are not good for the Trump administration. I mean, the video and the stills of the children behind chain link and all that, I mean, that tugs at most people's heartstrings.
People don't like the idea of it, and it's understandable why.
But I see this as maybe a pragmatic battle in that, you know, you have idealism here, but also pragmatism in the, if you game the system by having the children with you and seeking asylum or whatever it is, and you come across the border, let's say you cross it illegally and you have children with you, or you come and ask for asylum. These are ways to maybe air quotes here game the system if it's not legitimate. On the flip side, if you want to stop that or disincentivize that, then this idea of having your children separated from you, it could possibly be, I mean, it's a rough way to play, but it could be a way to slow or stem that tide.
Well, you know, smugglers know the loopholes in our laws better than we do, as the Homeland Security Secretary said today in New Orleans, and it's true. Smugglers are constantly looking for vulnerabilities that they can exploit, and it's hard not to look at the numbers, just the sheer increase in adults traveling with children, not to conclude that they discovered this is an easy way into the country. If I bring a child, I'm going to be allowed to be released into the country. And that is what is going on. And so it seems reasonable that if you provide a stiff sanction, they will have a deterrent effect. Just think about it. If you're living in Guatemala and you're thinking about coming to the United States and you're going to bring your 10-year-old child with you, if you know that if you get caught, there's a very good chance you're going to be arrested, charged with a crime, and put in jail, and your child's going to be put in a temporary holding center, you might not come under those circumstances. So just from like an economics incentive standpoint, there's a lot of logic behind it. But as you said, and politically it's bad because people don't like the sight of it.
Yeah, you're not going to hear a press conference where the president or the attorney general or anybody comes out and says, well, this is how. But I just wonder if it's a unintended consequence of enforcing the law. And we mentioned asylum as well. And this is something you've talked with us before on the show about the parameters, and the Attorney General talked about it as well. What qualifies as a true asylum seeker? I heard in Kirstjen Nielsen's conversation too, she said the percentage of people that ask for asylum after all the processing and everything they're done was a small percent, 20% or less of the total that actually were green-lighted for asylum, correct?
Right, exactly. And again, in the numbers, we talked about this before, but over the past decade or so, the share of people coming across the border who are seeking asylum has increased from 1 out of every 100 to 1 out of 10.
Wow.
That's a huge increase, and it's not connected to any change on the ground in Central America. It's not like these countries have all of a sudden gotten repressive dictatorships that are violating people's rights based on race and religion. Again, this is just a way people figure that in. Now, this has been conflated with what's been going on. I've heard a lot of people say, you're punishing these people, and all they want to do is seek asylum because they're being persecuted and they're running. Now, that is not that's not true, at least according to the administration. And I sat in on a conference call with some officials from Homeland Security and the Department of Justice on Friday, and they hotly insisted that that is not true. And there have been some reports in the media, and some advocacy groups have claimed this, but they insist that that's not the policy. And it would be hard to really see how this could happen anyway, because applying for asylum is not illegal. So, that is a legal immigration act. So if you, but you've got to come to an official port of entry, a border crossing station, and do it. So they arrest people who are trying to sneak into the country between the border crossing stations. But if you come to a border entry point,
the port of entry,
and you have your family, and you say, we're here to claim asylum, that's not against the law. So it's hard for me to see how they could be charging people with crimes for doing that and separating it from their children, because federal judges would never put up with that. If a federal judge had a case come before him, and what's the case? Well, this guy came and he made an asylum claim, and we think it's funny. They would toss that case. But that's a different issue, because as you said, a lot of them are bogus claims. But to determine that, you got to go through the whole process and present evidence, and an immigration judge has to make that determination. So unless something was facially fraudulent, like someone showed up and said, this is my child and we're fleeing Guatemala because they fear persecution, and then you find out, well, no, he's really a smuggler and they're not related at all. I mean, in that case, that would be fraud, and they might file a charge based on that. But any legitimate parent with their real children that was claiming asylum, they're not separated, they're kept together, they're released, they have a chance to make their asylum claim and argue out on that point. So, these crimes we're talking about, these are actual immigration violations not connected to asylum. Asylum abuse is a whole other issue, but this is not going to solve that.
Yeah, you know, I wonder about the asylum situation. Let's say, even in, and you know, I've argued that there's some percentage of people who assume that, oh, all these asylum claims are bogus. Nah, there's obviously real asylum claims, but that's got to be tough if you're seeking asylum from a government or whoever the command structure is in a country because of ethnic or political party or something that puts you in the crosshairs, and you come in, and for them to make sure that that's valid, they got to go back and check with your home country on whether you really fit the definition. You know, unless that country just wants to get rid of you, they may say, no, everything's fine here. Send them back. Everything's good.
Well, right, exactly. I think people also assume that asylum is anyone in a really bad circumstance. I live in a slum in Honduras or in El Salvador, and MS-13 is terrorizing my neighborhood and the police won't do anything. Well, I mean, that's a bad situation, but that doesn't actually meet the criteria for asylum. The asylum law is actually quite narrow. You have to be targeted specifically for persecution because of your race or your ethnicity or your religion, or your political beliefs. You know, there's like five different criteria. So if you think back to the old days of Castro's Cuba, if you were a political prisoner and you escaped, or you feared persecution by the communists, that was a pretty good case for asylum because you were being targeted by the government. But if you just have an ineffectual government and the crime rate is high and there's no good job opportunities, if we let that be grounds for asylum, we'd be opening the doors to most of the world, because most of the world's population lives in pretty crummy circumstances. So that's the challenge with that. And, maybe we should have a debate about broadening our asylum laws and being more generous and including people who are facing dire circumstances that reaches some sort of level and not, persecution by a government. But that really ought to be done through the democratic process through Congress, rather than just the administration just deciding we're going to be more generous, and that's kind of what's going on with asylum. The people are being turned down, are not coming from cushy circumstances, and they just decided that they'd rather live in the United States, so they're going to commit fraud. There are people who are fleeing bad stuff, bad circumstances. I don't think that they're lying in that regard, but they're not actually fleeing for a ground that's cognizable under asylum law, and that's the issue with that.
And that, the question is, if asylum by definition, I'm just off the top of my head, would be some place to get away from something, protection from something. If it is something that actually exists in the country you're seeking asylum in, then by definition, that's not asylum, right? If they say it's domestic abuse or it's gangs, those things exist inside our borders. So we wouldn't actually be asylum from that.
I suppose you could make a claim, based on, persecution based on gender, that if you're the victim of domestic abuse and you live in a country that, where the whole police infrastructure just doesn't care about domestic abuse, maybe similar to the way the police in this country used to treat abuse, only maybe worse. They never arrest the abuser, and they always take the side of the husband or the boyfriend.
I could make a
clever argument that would kind of rise the level and qualify. But no, if they have laws in place and they prosecute people, but you're just in danger from your boyfriend, that's not persecution in the same way that, if there's a genocide going on because you're in the wrong religion or something. It's a different situation. And it's just, again, there are pull and push factors involved in this. There's a pull factor because, let's face it, despite the all the talk about how Donald Trump has taken away all their freedoms, the United States is still a pretty nice place to live, and there's a lot of job opportunities, and you can make more money here. That's a pull that pulls migrants in from countries that don't function very well. And then there are also push factors. Again, if the drug cartels, kind of effectively control your town, you're going to want to get away with that. And that might not, rise to the level of meeting the definition of, of an asylum claim, but it's definitely a push factor that's pushing you out of your country and looking for something better. Again, it's just, this is what I always say to people, you know, who have sympathy for individual cases and they think that, you know, we should let them in. There was a poll a number of years ago that estimated globally something like 700 million people would live in the United States if they could. So my question is, should we take all 700 million people and more than double the size of our country? And invariably people say, no, we shouldn't do that. And then I say, well, that's great, then you and I agree. Now we're just haggling over the numbers.
Hey, we're about out of time, but I've got to, because it's something you've reported on before. I know you had a story over at Yellowhammer News, and you and I have talked about it. And the president today actually gave those comments. I played at the beginning of the hour, right before he started his discussion on what could be the sixth branch of the military, the Space Force. Right?
I did see that. Yes.
Yeah. So. Can you give people the Wikipedia, the fast version of what the heck this is?
Yeah, we actually have a Space Force now, a lot of people don't realize, but it's within the confines of the Air Force. And this is not, you know, people flying around on the Starship Enterprise attacking the Klingons, but it's the people who are in charge of military satellites and, you know, protecting our military satellites and acquiring new satellites and capabilities and defending against attacks from other countries, because other countries are working on offensive weapons that can take out our satellites, that sort of thing. And what Congressman Mike Rogers from Alabama has long wanted to do and now got a public shout-out from the president on it is, let's pull all those people out of the Air Force and make it its own branch. So if you think it's kind of akin to the relationship between the Marines and the Navy. The Marines and the Navy work together, you know, they serve on ships together, the Marines go to the same academy, mm-hmm. but they have a different force structure and a different command structure and all that. And the idea is, this is too important just to leave to the Air Force, because institutionally the Air Force just doesn't care that much about it. And people who are interested in space don't advance. You know, they don't become generals. They don't become admirals for wanting to do that. So let's make that its own force. Let's recruit the best and the brightest space people, and then they have a chance to rise up, in their own force, and we can close, you know, the gap that started to open up. China and North Korea and Russia, are all developing capabilities, and Iran are all developing capabilities that could blind us by taking out our satellites, and we've been slow to react to that, and we've been slow to get new technology into space. It takes 6 years in some cases to get a new satellite up because of all the bureaucracy, and if maybe a separate Space Force could cut through all that and do that. So that's what they're talking about with the Space Force. It's existing personnel just putting it under its own house.
I got you. And it's going to, of course, lead to more discussion going forward if it happens. The insignia.
There's been a lot of talk about what will the uniform look like.
Yes, exactly. we'll get into that. Hey, Brendan, remind folks, if they want to catch you online, of what you're writing and also pick up your book, how do they find you?
Sure. Well, the book you can get, in local bookstores or on Amazon or where they sell books. And in terms of political writing, Yellowhammer, LifeSet.com, and you can always just go to my Twitter page, at President K. Kirby, and lots of people tweet nasty things to me.
They do, but you take it quite well. Brendan, thanks as always. 12:52, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Y'all see this? Now, they got to do a little better on the planning. Today, every day is National Something Day. Yeah. Burrito with Queso Day or whatever it is. But today, National Fishing Day. You had the, here in the state of Alabama, I think back on June 9th, we had the Free Fishing Day, but National Go Fishing Day observed on June 18th each year. Cool thing. Shouldn't that have been? Although I know a lot of y'all may have Monday off instead of Sunday off, something like that, so it works for you. It says, you know, hey, here's a day to celebrate by going fishing. Oh, speaking of which, coming up next hour, it's gonna be fun. Well, Kelly mentioned the story this morning in headlines that Auburn University has a new degree out there, something brand new this year, called the outdoor. See if I have a outdoor recreation degree. Yeah, and when I heard that, I said, well, that's cool. That means I just get to go outside and do stuff and get a degree. No, it's for people who might work in those fields, and it's through the School of Forestry and Wildlife Sciences. Dr. Mark Smith, who along with Dr. Steve Ditchkoff developed this Wildlife Enterprise Management degree program. Dr. Mark Smith is going to join us at 1:30. Looks like, 1:30 to talk about that. So listen up, and this will be one of those, we podcast all the shows we do, all the organic, the homegrown content here at FM Talk 106.5. But remember this one. If you have somebody in the family, where was this degree? When I was a boy, right? If you have somebody that this would fit their child's interest, may want to listen to it and get an idea. Share the podcast with them. It's as easy as going to fmtalk1065.com. You'll see the tab for podcast. You drop down. You select today would be hour number 2 of Midday Mobile on Monday, and then you can take there's a little URL, you just cut it and share, and you can send that straight to somebody. Maybe it's somebody in your own family, maybe it's a friend or something like that. You think they have, somebody might be interested in that, so that'll be up after we wrap up at 2 o'clock. But we'll talk to Dr. Smith coming up at 1:30. All right, we come back from the break. We can see some people want to talk about the Space Force. I guess people are asking me questions like, I don't know anything about it, other than the few stories I've read. The 6th military branch, the Space Force. Is it time for a Space Force? Is this something that you go, okay, right now you're saying, well, that's silly. And in a decade or two, you're saying, well, that was brilliant. Or in a decade or two, you're saying, yeah, they were talking about a Space Force back then. So we can talk Space Force with you coming up next hour if you want to. Also, pretty interesting story about a Pew survey. Can Americans detect what's opinion and what is a fact in a news story? Not many of them. We'll give you the stats when we get back.